Hello, and welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago. I'm your host this week, Ben O. Nelson. And today we're going to be talking with some members of the Plagiarist and some actors coming to audition for their spring show, The Wreck of the Medusa. And about a year ago, Ann Nicholson Weber did a podcast on casting from the casting director's point of view. And we're going to supplement that one this week with talking to people on the other side of the table. So let's get started right off. Sitting down with me today are, do you guys want to go ahead and introduce yourselves?
I'm Greg Peters. I'm a plagiarist and the co-author of the piece.
I'm Jack Tambori. I am also a plagiarist and I am directing.
What we're doing here today is we've sent out the script along with specific sides that we wanted people to read. Mm-hmm. In this case, they're just monologues. And then invited them to select one and come in and read it for us. What's typical at larger theaters and theaters that cast by a season is you would come in and do a single monologue or a set of two monologues or maybe two monologues and a song that contrast that then they would call you back from depending on if they liked what you had done or not or whether it fit in their conception of what they were working on. I've done auditions where it's just you open it up to whoever and they come in and they can do a monologue or they can do something from the show and it can be very sort of open-ended.
Yeah. So this is a show-specific audition. We sent out invitations based on basically suggestions from company members, the list of auditioners from last year's Promiscuous Stories.
Right.
And just sort of actors we knew. And then...
And people who have submitted.
Yeah.
Either by mail or email.
Great.
Yes.
Their headshot and resume.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, a couple people emailed me saying, oh, my friend, my roommate is coming in for this. Can I come in too? And I always said yes.
Cool. How have they been going so far?
Good.
Great. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What are you looking for in an audition?
This piece in particular, we're looking for people who can, there's a sort of archaic elevated language in the piece.
Mm.
So we're looking for people that can handle the language and sort of own the language and make it their own and make it sound like it comes from them.
Mm-hmm.
And looking for people that fit the type, have a look that could be archaic.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than somebody that has a very modern body language and a very modern way of speaking that's sort of incompatible with what might be called on.
Okay.
Yeah. Generally, this is the first round of auditions. We're having callbacks next week.
Mm-hmm.
And when I cast a show, in a way, there's a degree to which the first round of auditions for any show, I'm always sort of looking for the same thing, regardless of the show, which is an actor I have chemistry with, an actor who responds to my voice and my face and my questions, and also an actor who is going to make surprising choices. And for this round of auditions, when we sent out the materials, we sent a set of monologues from the play, as well as a draft of the script, and said, pick a monologue. Don't worry about context within the script. Don't worry about gender. Don't worry about age. Don't worry about accents. Just prove that you can connect to the language.
Cool.
And that you can make strong choices. And so what I love to see in auditions is actors come in with some totally wild-ass take that isn't necessarily right. But that proves that they have that process.
Mm-hmm. Those are pretty abstract desires.
Mm-hmm.
I think something that like a criticism that gets leveled at auditioning, sort of the way that it is done, the way that we know it, is that it strikes me a little bit as the SATs are to college.
Mm-hmm.
That in some way there are some skills that are related to being a good college student if you can get a good score on the SATs, but on another level, they're completely different. You can be good at one and not the other. Is that something that makes you nervous?
You know, that's absolutely true. Auditioning is a skill that is related to acting in plays, but is not the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I see a lot of theater,
mm-hmm.
and when I'm casting a show, I call in people who have interested me in other shows.
Yeah.
And I am definitely willing to give an auditioner the benefit of the doubt if I've seen them be good or seen them do something that is appropriate to the project I'm auditioning. Mm-hmm.
I think that that happens because people recognize that you can't always get what you're looking for in an audition, and you can't always get a good sense of what the person is like to work with or what they might be capable of over a rehearsal process. Mm-hmm. And so I think that natural tendency to be like, oh, well, this guy was really good to work with before, even if they're maybe not even as right for the role as we'd like, we'll call them in and even cast them. And I think it's not the best answer, you know, in an ideal world.
But yeah.
I mean, I think that's why that happens.
I think it's interesting too. And I feel like a lot of people are trying to do something, trying to sort of expand the way that auditions work. You know, that activity of searching people out and giving them the benefit of the doubt, as you say, I think is really important. And some of, I wonder if it indicates like a collapse of the audition. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I don't know that it's as revolutionary as all that. perhaps unfortunate. I mean, you know,
right.
If you want to do the thought exercise of like, what would be an ideal production process for a play? Well, mm-hmm. Your auditions would function more like a workshop, mm-hmm. and you would see people probably more. It would be more useful to see people in groups than individually, and uh-huh. and you would have more time to work with people and switch them around and get their input and ask them and really have sort of a mini rehearsal process over a few days. But no one has time for that, and it's in a way, I mean, that's ideal from the production team standpoint, but for an actor, do you want to spend 3 days working on a piece and then not get cast? Would you rather come in, do a monologue, and it doesn't take up as much of your life?
I mean, because the other thing that I think is important, something that I worry about in a lot of those sort of casting processes that are not auditions, not sort of open auditions or invited auditions, is that they so quickly become this kind of like echo chamber of a company where it's like, we use all these people, we know them, we trust them. And I think that has a lot of value, but then how do you get new people on stage? How do you learn something?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely something to be said for starting a process already having established relationships.
Yeah.
And you can cut out a lot of preamble that way and sort of cut to the chase and use a more advanced and personalized vocabulary.
Uh-huh. And not have to worry about how people feel about your relationship, because you have an established relationship.
Exactly.
That you don't
exactly.
have to,
like, do they like the play? Do they think we're our company is clown shoes?
Right,
like,
right.
You don't
have
to worry about that. But you know, a big part of a good theatrical experience and a good rehearsal process is surprise.
Yeah.
And the more you work with someone, the harder and harder it gets for them to surprise you. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's when I know that a moment or an actor has a lot of potential is when they make a choice that isn't what I've envisioned or maybe inappropriate, but is simultaneously surprising and honest. Yeah.
Yeah, I've cast people based in Promiscuous Stories. There was an actor that was cast specifically because they came in with a monologue and did something. So they did something so crazy with it and had so much fun and physically used the space in such an extreme way that we laughed and laughed and it was astounding and it would fit the text in its own way. And we just were like, well, that's obviously going to be his role because he carved
that's
it
great.
Out. I mean, and this is just in the initial audition before the callbacks even.
Wow.
Who
just
was
like,
that?
It was Chad as the narrator.
Oh, Chad is the narrator. Yeah. Okay, cool. I don't know if now would be the time to talk about sort of from the minute the actor walks into the room. Hey, come on
as
in.
No,
come on in.
Yeah. Over there.
No,
you should totally come right in.
You're good. You're good. How you doing, Tony?
Hi.
Hi. You know Benno?
Hey, Tony.
I'm
Benno.
How you doing? Good to see you.
Do you guys want to do the audition you have scheduled? Or Tony, do you want to join us?
Yeah. What are we talking about?
We're talking about auditioning. Okay, let me get you a chair.
Yeah, come join us.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because you're an actor who has auditioned.
I have auditioned. I am auditioning.
Yes. In fact, right at this minute,
is
whether
this
you know it or not.
Oh my God.
Okay, welcome, Tony Caney.
Hi.
So you're actually auditioning for this show today.
Yeah.
So I think, but all of you actually, Jack, you're here as a director now, and Greg, you're here as an author today, but both of you are also actors.
Yeah, well, we acted.
Yeah, yes. Okay, fair enough. That's how I feel too. And I hate auditioning. I mean, I hate it so much. You've been on both sides of the table. What are your feelings about auditioning as an actor?
I actually
have you had to?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Recently, I was called in for something, callback for something that a friend of mine was working on, and
he just has to drop there was a callback.
Well, the reason is because it was a scene, and it was like, here's the scene, come in and read the scene, and I was nervous, but I at the same time, like, it was a lot of fun. Just to engage with the scene and, you know, read the play and try to figure out, you know, sort of a dry run for any acting process. Like, what are the choices that I want to make about the character? What are the choices I want to make about the scene? And come in and do it. And it was a good time. Like, and part of it is because I knew the people involved, so it wasn't sort of that sort of threatening environment. Yeah. And I had a good time just coming in and reading the scene. And I think that can be fun. And like, you know, if you come in for a callback and you're doing a series of workshop things, that can be really fun.
Yeah.
The coming in and doing the monologue for the dark theater or
totally
the people
agree.
You don't know,
it's
always nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I only audition for people I know, or at least that has been the case, for projects that I'm already to some degree invested in. And then more recently I auditioned for a show that a friend of mine was directing, and I have been at the table with him in other auditions of his. So I know what each of his responses actually means.
Oh man, that's tough.
So, you know, I came in, read the sides, he gave me an adjustment, I did it again, and then he said thank you in this precise way that meant that I knew meant without any malice, like, it's time for you to leave. So that was
put the money on the dresser.
Security's on the way.
Yeah. So that was weird, but at the same time, I think I would prefer that to the sort of stone faced panel of with no feedback.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Tony, how does it help coming into an audition knowing that the people you're auditioning for have been where you're standing?
Sure, it definitely takes off some of the nervousness. At the same time, I try not to really think about it too much. I try to view whoever I'm auditioning for, whether I know them or not, as more neutral, at least in that moment.
That's interesting.
Because I don't want to have a bias. I don't want to cloud what I'm doing with, well, I know this person, so I can get away with this. Or they'll understand if I mess up. Or, you know, I feel like that would take away if I viewed it like that. But it's that there's definitely a level of comfort there that's nice. That's helpful. Maybe gives you some more freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, I think we've been talking a little bit about like what, you know, people look for in auditions. And I know the sort of the phrase that I don't know, bouncing around in my head is like bold choice. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In what way does that inform the way that you audition?
Yeah. And I've been thinking a lot about that phrase because that was one of the things that Jack put in the email, make a bold choice. It doesn't matter right or wrong. And that kind of got my mind twisted because you want to make a big choice, but for me, it also has to be an honest, truthful choice, and it has to serve the text.
Yeah.
And originally, I had made a very bold choice, but I could tell the words were fighting the choice I was making.
That's interesting.
Even though it was maybe off the wall and not what you'd expect, it wasn't working. It was big, but it was fake.
Wow, that's interesting.
So I guess what I try to do is make a bold choice in terms of the most honest, you know, emotional truth that I can find.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And an actor who can take the direction, make a bold choice, and know that implicit in that is, and stay honest, is an actor who knows their shit.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
One would hope. I mean, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
We will see.
Yeah. We will see.
Yeah, I hope everyone understands the stakes of this interview. You're literally about to audition for these two guys. This is so cool. You sit down with us. Tony, so there are sort of two kind of basic sorts of auditions. There's the audition where you just come in blind and you do a monologue or two or a song. And there's the kind of audition where the production has given you something to prepare and you come in. Do you have a preference?
I guess I would prefer the latter of the two.
Yeah.
I like knowing that the piece I'm going to be doing is appropriate and not, I'm not putting that on the auditor to if it's an original monologue,
yeah,
for them to say, well, okay, this is an interesting choice. How does this fit? How can I see this, the character and what he's doing?
Yeah.
When they know the piece already, it's more comforting to me.
Yeah.
Plus it gives me more to work with, I guess, you know.
Yeah, definitely. How much preparation do you put into it? Do you try to memorize the sides or the monologue they give you?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember. I think it was Olivier who said that, the words have to be, and this is a terrible paraphrase I'm doing, but basically, it has to be your skin. It has to be your second nature. If you're thinking about what you have to say, you're not doing anything but thinking about what you're going to say next.
Hmm.
And that's not interesting acting.
Yeah.
So I try to become as familiar with it as possible.
Would you mind saying, how much time do you think you put into each audition before it happens?
How many hours?
Yeah.
I would say on the weekends, six hours,
6 hours
on the weekends, and then an hour a night each week, maybe more. I mean, I go crazy. I obsess,
yeah,
over it, and it's,
yeah,
all I think about, and it's all I'm always saying it to myself under my breath, and I'm always, this choice works, and then an hour later I'll abandon it and think that was the worst thing I've ever thought of in my life. and I unfortunately, I never get to a point before an audition where I'm like, yeah, like this is solid. Like these choices are awesome.
Yeah.
To the last minute, I'm always like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Speaking of giving your actors time to
prepare.
Please,
definitely.
And we can reconvene.
Great.
Thank you.
So now we're talking to two actors here who have just auditioned. We're talking to
Tony Caney
and
Anderson Laufer.
And so how'd it go, guys?
It went good, I think, you know. I was okay with it, I guess.
Yeah, it was over so fast. Like them all.
Yeah, it was over pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think the auditions that I've gone to, too, I know, you know, I do like a lot of preparation for them. I read, mm-hmm, the thing like, you know, 7 billion times, and I, you know, score it up. And then it is like, what, 2 minutes, one, uh-huh, minute? After the audition, how do you think about what just happened? This audition
as
any audition.
As little as possible.
Really?
Yeah.
I always get a little more nervous afterwards, or like, yeah, my energy kind of like shoots out, you know?
Yeah, afterwards. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. What do you think that is?
Just nerves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nerves like being released. You build up all of this energy and tension, and then like we're saying, it's 2 minutes and it's over, and it's, I don't think most actors really get all of that energy out in that 2 minutes. So
yeah,
you have all this leftover stuff to get rid of.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know,
or like you think about what you could have done that would have been,
yeah,
so much cooler.
Right.
Now, yeah, that you actually have, now that you actually have like adrenaline pumping and everything. Like,
yeah,
man, if I was in there now,
right,
I'd be,
right,
super dope in this.
Have you ever thought about doing that? Just like walking out and then immediately walking back,
yeah,
in. Like,
okay, let me try it again.
I've heard of actors saying that. Like, you know what? Can I try that again? I don't think that was my best work. And,
uh-huh,
you know, most auditors will be cool with it, depending on time.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely way prefer auditions where I get a second chance to do it, or where like I get some coaching.
Love that. Yeah,
yeah, agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a good opportunity to prove you can think on your feet too, and make changes.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it probably tests more like what the art of acting really is.
Yeah.
And it does, it makes you feel a little more comfortable, and it gives you that second chance.
Definitely show them a little more. I heard once after an audition, I wish I could remember who said this originally, but it was basically, all you can think about is, did you do the best job that you could? If the answer to that is no, think about what you can do better for next time.
Mm-hmm.
But never think backwards, like, what if I would have done this instead?
You know, that does seem destructive, yeah.
Right, like, put forward thinking instead of,
yeah,
thinking what I could have done, what can I do next time?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've always found I've been the luckiest when I come in and make, like, initially make the most bizarre choice I can think of, or the most, like,
uh-huh,
outlandish choice. And then I usually, like, even if I'm no good at it or whatever, you know, it's enough of a mask to distract the director from,
yeah,
me not doing a good job to make them think about, you know, like, well, he'd be willing to do something else. Or,
yeah, yeah. He made, like, the bold choice.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're joined now by Griffin Sharps. Griffin, do you want to say hi?
Hello.
And Griffin also just auditioned here at The Plagiarists. How did it go?
It went really well, actually. I sort of prepared the monologue a couple of different ways before I came in, and then sort of decided in the 2 seconds between sitting down and starting it that I was just going to do something completely different, and it seemed like it worked pretty well.
That's great.
Yeah.
How, I've had only once I've had the feeling that, like, the audition I did went well. And, you know, you like walk out and you feel like I nailed it. You know, do you guys get that feeling ever?
No.
No, literally never.
Not particularly. No, not that I...
But you guys are such better actors than me.
Well, I have... I remember getting it like a couple times and then not getting the part. And thinking, like,
yeah.
That
learns to get it. Yeah, I think that is like an important thing. Like, what is like the ratio of feeling it went well to them thinking it went well, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I've only remember like getting cast in parts that I felt like the audition just bombed.
Really?
Yeah, no, I never feel like it goes well when I actually get cast.
Yeah, I was always taught that you... go out of an audition or even after a show, you've just done a scene and you're off stage and you're talking to your scene partner and you're saying, God, that went really well. Those are usually the times that didn't go very well for the audience. Because if you're that aware of what you were doing and how well it went, you probably weren't really, you didn't have your attention in the right place anyway.
Wow.
So
it seems like that makes prepare, like talking yourself out of being able to know when it went well or not. I think on one level that can make you feel better if you feel it went well and you don't get it, like that could be really confusing. But it seems like it would make it almost impossible to prepare if you didn't have a goal that you could measure yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, also, I mean, another thing is just the sheer volume of auditions where it's like, you know, I just don't, I'll put as much time as I possibly can into this and then it's over. And then,
yeah.
So I don't beat myself up about anything, really.
Andy, how much time do you think you put into preparing for an audition? Do you have like an average? Do you mind saying also?
No, I don't mind saying. It depends on what it is, you know, like this particular show, like this, I've been bothering Jack about it for a while because this particular story is really interesting to me.
Yeah.
And something that I've been willing or wanting to learn about for a while.
That's so great.
You know, I like first learned about it in art class in college and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I'd just be willing to spend a lot of time researching it and whatever and developing a character. I think would be really fun for this. And so like putting any like significant time into side work for me for this wasn't that important because it's about, you know, I don't want to come in with any kind of formed idea for something I don't know.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Or if I was doing an audition for Death of a Salesman or something, you know.
Right, yeah.
You know, you want to go in like knowing what your guy does.
Yeah. So. You know, that's a really interesting point. I mean, this is a new work that you guys auditioned for today. Do you feel like that changes the stakes then, like when you're going in? You know, I've got a audition for Twelfth Night on Monday, and I feel like if I don't, I got to read that play like 6 or 7 times. I feel like I really need to know who that is because everyone in the room is going to know so much, and the character is so like iconic in that way.
So you need a formed opinion of your character, you know?
Yeah,
even if it's wrong, you just need to have an opinion of what he does.
Exactly, right. And if it's like a new work about a young actor, why would I have to prepare that at all? You know what I mean?
And we'll learn it together.
Yeah.
I agree completely. The more information that you have, you know, the more you can put that into your monologue and your audition. You know, I think it's not as much about having access to all of these resources and information as how you use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know everything about your character, but it doesn't show in your piece,
definitely.
Then what's the point?
Yeah.
And that's been always a struggle for me is how to incorporate the research that I do.
Mm-hmm. How many auditions do you do in a month or something? Is there any average? Does it depend on how many shows are opening? Do they blend together?
I've got 3 this week. I've got another in an hour.
Nice. Oh, wow. So, all right. Showbiz.
I think he just blew my figure out of the water.
I guess maybe that's not fair. That is interesting because it seems like on some level, like the more you stack them together, the harder it is to put the kind of energy in that you want to.
And that's when it also helps like working a bunch in the city, you know, when you know people, you know, like the people that you've worked with before who call you in for auditions, you know, like maybe you're more comfortable going in without knowing something, you know, going in like talking to like Jack and I have worked together before, so it like I of course would never be offended if he didn't cast me or anything, you know.
Yeah.
But I feel comfortable auditioning for him and like in a short amount of time or whatever. And so like if I got like a Chicago Shakes audition, I'd spend 2 weeks getting ready for it, you know?
Yeah. Griffin, what do you think? How do you know if an audition went well or not?
Well, I guess for me, this sort of goes back to what you were saying, Anderson. I have a lot of trouble like going to auditions where I don't like the play or I don't know anything about it other than, you know, oh, I saw this on Perform Inc. or like, oh, like leave Chicago Theater's website. And I think that for me, kind of putting in the work on something is a way of kind of forcing myself to take it seriously and say, no, like I'm actually going to be here. I'm actually going to like take a risk or whatever rather than like find out about this or like look over the side, like, you know, go to sleep, like wake up, you know, 30 minutes before the audition, get there and like, you know, just hope against all hope that things can go well. And I guess, like, I don't know how this completely relates, but I think that the kind of engine for taking it seriously in that way is kind of, for me anyway, being able to say, like, this is an opportunity to act. Like, this is the day that I get to work, which is a good day. Because I'm not casting anything right now. I'm, you know, I can sit in my, you know, basement and, you know, do all the Shakespeare monologues to, you know, the empty air that I want. But, like, this is the day that, you know, I actually get to perform.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Do any of you have any audition rituals? I mean, auditions, they're the sort of job interview. But there's something a little bit... There's something a little bit worse about them. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
But it's so easy to obsess about them, I feel. You know, what are you wearing? And, like, what, you know, do you dress like the character, you know? And what do you eat or drink before? That kind of stuff. I mean, how ritualistic are you about it? And what are the things that you make sure to do before an audition?
Well, personally, I try not to eat or drink a lot. Uh-huh. I feel like that weighs me down. Uh-huh. Mostly, and you were comparing it to a job interview, and I think both of those situations can be fraught with tension. Uh-huh. So what I try to do more than anything is just relax and breathe and trust the work that I've done and know that if I've made good choices and clear ones that I can stick to that and not wander off and not get tense. And because that's the last thing I want. I think you want in an audition situation is this tense actor, you know, spitting all over the place.
Yeah.
but in terms of rituals, I don't really have anything specific. I just try to stay focused on the work I've done.
That's great. Do you ever dress up like the character?
For a callback, I might. Uh-huh. For an audition, I just want to dress comfortable.
I used to call my mom.
Call your mom before or after?
Before. I used to do it every. I don't do it anymore. but I used to.
She's like, honey, you don't need to call someone. do you think that there's another way? Do you ever wish that you didn't have to audition, that people just called you up? Or do you think that there's another way that could better? Do you ever audition for a show and then you see it and you're like, come on, that guy? And you think that, you know, what is it about auditioning that isn't working?
Well, Chicago inherently is blessed and cursed with having ensembles because a lot of times ensembles get the first crack at things that they just aren't like the best actors for, but they are the ones who have chosen to do it and are putting in the administrative work and all that stuff. Right. So it's their business. So they obviously should be cast in it, but like heartbreaking a little bit sometimes. Uh-huh. Like, fuck that guy.
I think I like auditioning because it makes me feel like I've earned it.
That's great.
I did a show where I didn't audition for it, and I gotta be honest, like the first month of rehearsal, I was like, why am I here? Like, what did the director see in me without having, you know, seeing me do anything really? Why did he think I would be right for this? You know, like, is he gonna realize all of a sudden, like, wait a minute, like, I've made a mistake? You know what I mean? And, but when I've put the work into the monologue and come in and like sweat and got nervous and then I get it, it's like, all right, like, did the work, put the work in.
It's like purging and then satisfying.
Yeah, sort of.
Auditioning is a horribly demeaning, dehumanizing process.
It's very important to me to make everyone coming in feel like they had the opportunity to do their best.
Yeah.
And so, so your attitude in welcoming them into the room, in making sure that if they have questions that you either have an answer or say, it doesn't matter, go ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, I always want to give people an opportunity to ask about pronunciation, even though if they mispronounce it in an audition, that doesn't mean they're bad actors, but that freaks people out.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
play like this where there's a ton of French and
all kinds of stuff. Exactly. And so, and then while they're performing, I'm sort of acting also. I try to be sort of the platonic ideal of an audience member and give them as much energy as possible and laugh in unexpected places and lean forward and you know, nod to myself, you know, and I don't do this like, it's not calculated necessarily, it sounds like I'm a huge asshole as I'm describing this, but really, what I try to do is
you want to give them your whole attention.
Exactly.
And you want them to. Well, it seems in addition to that, you want them to feel as though you're giving them
exactly
your whole attention.
Because I want in order for them to do the best they possibly can, we need to be participating in the energy cycle of theater,
yeah,
even though this isn't theater.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Why do you do that? Is it A, for their feelings, or B, for some audition-y or artistic-y reason?
Both. I mean, partly, you know, of course, I don't want them coming out of my audition saying, man, that guy was a dick. I don't I don't want to be in his show. And also, I don't want them to come out of the audition saying, well, that went badly, but it was because that guy was a dick. But also, I really do believe that that my sort of my generous participation will make the audition better.
Yeah, I guess what I'm asking is, I wonder if it's, will the audition be better for the audition's sake, or the audition will be better and so you'll get a better idea of them in the part. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely think that when an actor is confident in what they're doing,
yeah,
which they would be after like a rehearsal process,
right.
I mean, well, a rehearsal process that went fairly well, then the performance that they give isn't rooted in all kinds of like, oh, I just messed that up. Oh, what am I doing? Oh, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah.
But it's rooted in, you know, what they set out to do and mm-hmm. what they're feeling in the moment.
Yeah.
And so that gives us a better idea of who they really are as an yeah. actor and what they're really capable of.
Right. Not for the sake of those 3 minutes, but for the sake of the show.
Right. But also, I mean, like, this is fine, I think, to say. A young woman came in who gave a very good audition.
Yeah.
And then immediately after she was done, she said, I'm sorry. And we said, no, it was great. And she's like, no, blah, blah, blah. She wasn't comfortable with her sort of – specifically with her command of the language in that reading.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, we thought that was good, but just for you, if you want to read a part of it again,
mm-hmm.
basically so that she would leave the room feeling like she had every opportunity to impress us.
Do you feel as members of a small company, do you feel that you're auditioning when you bring people in to a
I
certain
don't.
Extent?
You mean as far as how they perceive us as a company?
Yeah. Do you feel like you have something on the stake?
I do. Personally, like the way that we handle an audition and the way that we make ourselves accessible, I feel like it's an aspect of it's an aspect of public relations and artistic relations. So we try to make them inclusive as we can. We try to call in people, even if like it's like, I don't know if that person's quite right for this show, but we really like them and we like working with them and mm-hmm. we think they're talented. So we might call them in, not just out of hope of like, oh, maybe they'll surprise us and maybe they'll bring something, but also to keep them engaged with the company, which sounds mm-hmm. terribly manipulative, but it's really more yeah. a function of like, we like you and want to give you a chance.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, even if we're not sure.
Yeah. There are actors we've already seen today whom, at this point in time, we don't intend to call back, but they're clearly good actors. There's just something about a look or an energy that is just not appropriate for this project. And so, you know, in our follow-up with these with the actors who've come to audition for us, we want to make it clear without getting into too much detail, because that's a waste of everyone's time and you know, you don't want to coddle insecurities. But give some sort of actual reason why that comprehensible reason for the actor why they didn't get cast.
That's great.
That's important to me to do. And I haven't always been successful in doing that, but I think it's something to strive for, because, you know, auditioning is really vulnerable. You are being judged on your looks, on the quality of your voice, on your accent, on, you know, you're being judged on things that, that are very personal.
Yeah.
And judged, you know, we're not saying someone's a bad person because they didn't do an audition well or weren't right for a role, but it's still a judgment of them.
Sure.
And so you have to take that seriously.
And I think I think it's refreshing, just with the anxieties that you've expressed about holding auditions. I think it's refreshing to hear what we can all probably convince ourselves when we're standing in the middle of that room, sweating, dreading what's about to come out of our mouths, that you on your side of the table are uncomfortable and nervous and want to make sure that you're looking good and are presenting yourself to the person on my side.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's great. That's so awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for sitting down and talking.
Sure.
Oh, no problem.
And see the Wreck of the Medusa this spring?
This spring. We open April 8th. And we are running at Mary Archie Theater on West Sheridan.
Great. And whether or not you get to see any of the people that you heard from today, you will definitely have a grand old time.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.